So our speaker for this afternoon is Dr. Eleanor Rosati. She's currently a postdoctoral researcher at the Center for Research in the Arts, Social Sciences and Humanities, and is currently working on a project entitled The Creative Economy, Digital Technology and Innovation. Her PhD thesis has recently been published by Edward Elgar as a book entitled Originality in EU Copyright, Full Harmonization Through Case Law. Eleonora has also achieved no small measure of internet fame as a regular contributor to the IPCAT and 1709 blogs. She'll be speaking today on orphan works in the EU and UK.
Thank you very much, Inarne, for your lovely presentation. For me, it is really an honor to be here today because I was an LLM student myself a few years ago. So it is nice, to speak before you as students at the Faculty of Law. I would like to start by thanking Inarne and Julia and Lionel for inviting me to present on this exciting topic, that is orphan works, during this CIPIL seminar. So let's get it started asking you whether you know what orphan works are. How many of you know what orphan works are? You want to provide a definition? Excellent. So let's take the definition provided in the Orphan Works Directive, which was adopted by EU last in October 2012. And if you look at the directive, you'll see that orphan works are defined as works for which no right holders has been identified, or even if one or more of them has been identified, none has been located despite the conduction of a diligent search. So orphan works are not works without any parents, by that meaning right holders, but are works whose right holders cannot be identified or located despite the conduction of a diligent search. And the notion of diligent search is key to orphan works legislation, and I will return on that later on. So the topics I would like to address in the time at my disposal before having some discussion with you are the following. First of all, why orphan works are a problem. Secondly, what legislative options might there be in this area? And following this introduction, I would like to touch upon the main features of the recent Orphan Works Directive, and then touch upon independent national initiatives in this area by taking the case of the United Kingdom, which has recently provided a legislative framework for orphan works. So let's get it started with the first issue, that is why orphan works are a problem. From a strictly copyright perspective, they are a problem because potential users are unable, either because it is impossible or excessively difficult, to obtain authorization to use such works. And if they decide to go ahead and use these works, of course, there might be the risk of infringing third parties' copyright. And this being, the technical problem, if you look at the wider picture, you might take the stance taken by the European Commission when deciding to legislate in the area of orphan works, which said that there is a high demand at the European level for the dissemination of content of an educational, historical, or cultural value at relatively low cost to a wide audience online. So on the one hand, these legal problems relating to orphan works, and on the other hand, the need and desire to have these works disseminated and used at the European level. And then, of course, orphan works are said to be a huge problem also in quantitative terms. And these are the usual numbers that are given that I think should be taken with some consideration because it is not said they are perfectly accurate. And if you take the case of the British Library, this estimates that 40% of works in its collections are orphans. Then the other usual data is that of the BBC, which states that in its archives there are over 1 million hours of TV programming which are not used due to the impossibility or the disproportionate cost of tracing right holders, and therefore the risk of subsequent legal actions for for copyright infringement. Why am I saying that these numbers should be considered carefully? Because of course, if you say that that a work is an orphan, it is assumed that you have conducted a diligent search, but I'm not sure that this has been done in every instance. So these are the usual numbers. And looking at the broader picture, why there are so many orphans in Europe and also in the world? I think that this depends, this issue might be responded by looking at three elephants in the orphan works room, which have been defined quite interestingly by Bill Patry in his latest book, How to Fix Copyright. And of course, the orphan works problem is linked to three features of copyright. First of all, the lengthy duration of copyright protection, which is currently in most countries 70 years after the death of the author. And the problem of copyright duration as linked to orphan works was highlighted also by the US Supreme Court in its recent decision in Golan and Holder. Then the second aspect of copyright, which unlike patents and trademarks, is not subject to any formalities. And this is something which is codified at the international level in Article 5 of the Berne Convention. And finally, something which is really symptomatic of current age of digital distribution and enjoyment of works, that is the fact that once you place some work online, this is subject to instant worldwide distribution. And this is a problem for orphan works, in particular in the area of photographs, whose rights information is sometimes lost due also to this facility with which these works are exchanged over the internet. So this being, you know, the broader picture from which looking at orphan works, one might wonder whether orphan works have become the new black. Why am I saying this? Not only because it is a fashionable topic, but because there has been a move at the level of various states to legislate in the area of orphan works, really to address the problems that these works have been creating. So let's look at the proposals and initiatives taken at the EU, UK and United States level. How is it possible to legislate in the area of orphan works? If we take the case of the European Union, this has decided to adopt a specific exception to copyright, and in particular an exception to the rights of reproduction making available to the public, in order to create a legal framework to facilitate the digitization and dissemination of works. Taking a different stance, the United Kingdom in its recent orphan work scheme has decided to opt for a licensing approach, so something within the scope of exclusive rights. And in particular, the UK has decided to allow the use of orphan works by means of a licensing scheme. In that, and this is something which is to be found in the response of the UK government to the Argraves report, it benefits no one to have a wealth of copyright works which are entirely unusable. And finally, something which is still at the stage of reflection, and it is the discussion which is going on, I would say, with not much eco, but still with some importance at the US level. And in particular, as some of you might know, the US are currently considering whether to reform their Copyright Act, which was adopted in 1976. And this movement for reform was initiated by Maria Pallante, current US Register of Copyrights, during a lecture that she delivered last spring at Columbia Law School and entitled The Great Next Copyright Act. And she considered that there might be room for some formalities in the area of a copyright, in particular by considering what the provisions of the Berne Convention are. This is what Maria Pallante said. Berne Convention provides for a minimum term of duration of 50 years after the death of the author. The US protects copyright for 70 years after the death of the author. So the last 20 years of protection are basically not subject to the provisions of the Berne Convention. Therefore, she said, well, the no formality rule in the Berne Convention applies just to the 50 years, but for the last 20 years of protection, we might adopt some formalities. And in particular, she suggested that right holders should show their continued interest in having a copyright protection by registering their works with the US Copyright Office. And in this way, this might be a solution to reduction of orphan works issues. In that, of course, many problems with orphan works arise for works which were produced quite a few years ago. And this might be a solution, according to Maria Pallante. But this is still at the early stage of discussion, I would say. So let's go into the technical parts of orphan works legislation. Let's look at the Orphan Works Directive, which, as I said, was adopted at the end of 2012, and the deadline for implementation on the level of individual member states is 29th of October 2014. Let's get it started with subject matter. What works are subject to the orphan work treatment in the directive? Well, if you look at it, I guess all of you have a copy of the directive for your enjoyment and fun reading. You see that there are works and phonographs which were first published in a member state, or in the absence of publication, first broadcast in a member state, or in the absence of publication or broadcast, made publicly accessible by the beneficiaries of the directive with the consent of the right holders. And in particular, this last point is directly related to the fact that the directive allows use of both published and unpublished works. And so, in any case, the works which are subject to the orphan works treatment are works which originate from the European Union. So just this type of works as far as the geographic scope is concerned. And then if you look at more specifically at what kind of works are subject to the directive, you see that they are just literary, cinematographic and audiovisual works and phonograms, which are included in the collections of publicly accessible libraries, educational establishments, museums, film and audio heritage institutions and public service broadcasting organizations established in the EU. So this means that not every copyright protected subject matter is included in the directive. In particular, standalone photographs and other images are not subject to the directive, although this provides expressly for the possibility of including them in the future, especially when the directive is revised. Coming to the beneficiaries of the directive, one of the early reasons given by the European Commission for legislating in the area of orphan works was that of attracting the development of content offers like the Google Books Library project, and therefore enhance European competitiveness. Because the idea was that, how many of you know about the Google Books Library project litigation? You again? You want to say something? Google basically started digitizing books in the libraries of US universities at the beginning of the 2000s. And did so without asking for permission from the publishers of these books, assuming that this was tantamount to fair use. Of course, you know, the publishers did not agree with Google and decided to sue it before US courts, and they were also joined by the Authors Guild, which is the association which represents US authors. And the litigation has been going on for years. There was a settlement a few months ago with the publishers, but still the lawsuit with the authors is going on. Anyway, when the European Commission thought of adopting a directive, there had been a settlement between the various parties to the litigation, and therefore they thought, look, US law allows projects like Google Books, and the EU does not allow that because of the different copyright provisions, therefore we should go ahead and adopt an orphan works directive which would allow undertakings like Google to embark in this kind of initiatives. So these were the early reasons for legislating in the area of orphan works. But if you look at the final text of the directive, you will see that no commercial undertakings are considered beneficiaries of the directive itself. In fact, the only ones who can enjoy the provisions of the directive are publicly accessible libraries, educational establishments, museums, archives, film or audio heritage institutions, and public service broadcasting organizations. Moreover, in order to achieve aims related to their public interest missions. So you see that from the initial proposals, the number of beneficiaries have been considerably narrowed down. So if commercial undertakings are excluded from the range of beneficiaries, this does not mean that the beneficiaries cannot conclude public-private partnerships with these commercial undertakings for the digitization and making available to the public of orphan works. So this means that a subject like Google will have to go through the beneficiaries of the directive in order to enjoy its provisions and reproduce and make orphan works available to the public. Coming to the range of permitted uses, as I said, the directive envisages an exception to the rights of reproduction making available to the public, and asked member states to include this specific exception into their national laws. And the mechanism envisaged by the directive is that of a diligent search, the notion of which will have to be defined at the level of member states, although the directive includes some guidelines in an annex, and it says that following this diligent search, a work can be considered an orphan and be reproduced and made available to the public. So, the directive excludes commercial undertakings from its beneficiaries. What about commercial exploitation? The initial proposal was not to allow it at all, but now the final text provides for the possibility of having a commercial exploitation of orphan works, although to a very limited extent. In fact, commercial exploitation is possible, but just for the exclusive purpose of covering the cost of digitizing and making orphan works available to the public. So also here, you know, a very limited possibility for commercial exploitation. Conclusion. Is the directive the perfect? Does it solve the problem of orphan works at the European level? I will return on this later on, but for now I would just like to summarize the main aspects. First of all, as I said, limited beneficiaries, which goes against the early justifications given for intervening in the area of orphan works at the EU level. Secondly, the fact that public-private partnerships are possible, and I wonder whether this in reality will be the norm, in the sense that digitization and making available of orphan works will be possible thanks to the funding provided by private partners. So I wonder to what extent cultural institutions will really engage autonomously in the use of orphan works and will not revert instead to commercial undertakings for developing these projects. Secondly, limited uses, because basically what the directive allows is just the scanning and placing of orphan works on the internet. So no distribution of these works, no adaptation of these works, and very limited uses are possible. Furthermore, it is not possible to engage in a commercial exploitation of these works, and this might limit also the interest in engaging in projects which involve orphan works. The only useful thing, I think, is having the possibility of having a cross-border recognition of the orphan work status of a work, because the directive says that following a diligent search, if a work is recognized as an orphan, for instance in France, then it is an orphan everywhere else in the European Union. The third point is, when is a search diligent? The directive provides some guidelines, but as you might understand, you know, this concept is very vague and it is left to member states to define. So I wonder whether diverging approaches might emerge eventually. And the final point is with respect to national initiatives, because the directive says that member states are free to maintain their system of collective rights management. They can adopt legislative initiative to address larger mass digitization issues, such as in the case of out-of-commerce works, which have not been subject to any legislation at the EU level, apart from a memorandum of understanding, which of course, you know, has the value of soft law and does not really provide any helpful tool. And the final question with regard to national initiatives is whether and to what extent member states are free to legislate autonomously in the area of orphan works following the adoption of a directive at the European level and pending the obligation to implement it in their national legislations. And this is leading us to the second part of my presentation, which is about the recent initiative at the UK level, which last spring adopted the Enterprise and Regulatory Reform Act, which includes a specific provision, section 77, which provides for the inclusion of a new provision in the Copyright, Designs and Patents Act, which basically provide for an orphan work scheme at the UK level, which is, as I will see in a moment, very different from the provisions of the directive. So let's get it started with this, and in particular with subject matter, which what works will be subject to the UK scheme. Differently from the directive, there will be no restrictions as to the types of works that might be subject to the orphan work treatment. This means that also standalone photographs and other images which are expressly outwith the scope of the directive might fall within the scope of section 116A of the Copyright Designs and Patents Act implementing regulations. And, you know, here a warning, because although the UK legislated in this area, the real and actual shape of the UK orphan work scheme will become real just when the UK adopts the implementing regulations, which will happen. The deadline has been set for October 2014, so a little less than 1 year time, and basically in parallel with the deadline for the implementation of the directive. So we will have to wait to see what these regulations will actually say. In any case, the reading the documents which represent a background to the UK scheme, it is likely that, similarly to the directive, the UK legislation will allow use of orphan works in the form of both published and unpublished works. And differently from the directive, it will include also works which come from outside the European Union. I see that you are surprised, but it is this way. And in particular, works which originated outside the European Union, which nonetheless have a connection with the UK, but still go beyond the scope of the directive. Then, speaking of beneficiaries, here's the real difference, because unlike the directive, the UK scheme does not envisage any restrictions as to the potential beneficiaries of its orphan work scheme. So that means that also commercial undertakings will be eligible for the orphan work scheme, and subjects like Google or other undertakings involved in activities similar to the Google Books project might benefit from the UK scheme. And why is the UK scheme broader? Also because the permitted uses are much broader than those allowed under the directive. As I said, the UK scheme provides for a licensing mechanism, and it will be possible to apply for a license to do or authorize the doing of any act restricted by copyright, so including distribution of a work, adaptation of a work, acts which go well beyond the directive. In any case, just to respond to the worries of right holders, it was said that the licensing body, which is likely to be a collecting society or a group of collecting society, will be able to deny the grant of a license on grounds that the proposed use of a work can be tantamount to derogatory treatment of the work, and so on grounds of moral rights considerations, in particular possible violations of the right of integrity. And then the license will be granted following the conduction of a diligent search, which might differ depending on what work is at stake. And as I said, because the scheme includes also foreign works, it may involve also searching abroad. How? This has not been said, and it has been left to the implementing regulations. And finally, speaking of permitted uses, the Enterprise and Regulatory Reform Act is silent as regards the possibility of allowing commercial exploitation, but since commercial undertakings might be among the beneficiaries, there is really no reason to doubt that widespread commercial exploitation will be also possible. Conclusion about the UK Orphan Work Scheme. Has the UK taken a lead? Has it adopted an orphan work scheme which might be an example also for other member states besides and beyond the Orphan Work Directive? There are some questions which I would like to raise, and then perhaps we might discuss together. First of all, it is apparent that the Enterprise Regulatory Reform Act is much broader than the Orphan Work Directive. So one question is whether the UK Orphan Work Scheme supersedes the directive, at least for works which will be exploited in the UK. First of all, speaking of the different mechanism, license against exception, I think that having an exception is nice, pretty and it is something advisable in any situation. But of course, relying on an exception might be tricky and risky, because it is not said that what you are doing falls within a specific exception. So I would say that if you are an institution which might be also beneficiary of the directive, a cultural institution in the UK, applying for a license might be safer than relying on an exception. And also because a license would allow you, first of all, widespread commercial exploitation of a work, and secondly, the doing of any act restricted by copyright which goes beyond reproduction and making available to the public of a work. The second question, which I think should be perhaps addressed first, is whether the directive allows broad independent national initiatives in the area of orphan works. Because, as I said, if you read the text of the directive, what is permitted there is maintaining national system of collective rights management and adopt national initiatives to address larger mass-scale digitization issues. But if you look at the documents released by the UK Intellectual Property Office and also the discussion which took place in the Parliament, you will see that the UK scheme, in theory, is not intended to work as a large, large-scale mass digitization scheme. It is about the licensing of individual works, and so, in theory, should fall out with the scope of the directive. Then the further issue is, what if other member states follow the UK example? If other member states, France, Italy, Germany, went for schemes which resemble the UK one? Then one question will be whether the implementation of the Orphan Work Directive will be a meaningful event, whether there will be the creation of a level playing field at the European level in the area of orphan works, apart from the advantage of the directive of having cross-border recognition of the orphan work status. And other issue is whether an initiative like the UK one might impair the effectiveness of EU action in the area of orphan works. Those of you who are also fans of EU law will of course have in mind the principle of supremacy of EU law and perhaps the twin principle of EU preemption. How many of you do? You again? Eh? Now you claim to be from outside the EU, so. Anyway, the principle of supremacy of EU law is that, of course, the value of European Union law in respect to national laws, so it is higher, it should be respected, and it should be complied with. And the twin principle of preemption is that once the EU legislates in a certain area, then national laws which go against EU laws should be put aside and member states should be prevented from adopting legislative initiatives which might either go against EU law or even impair the effectiveness of EU law. And this is something which is perhaps better developed at the level of US constitutionalism, where there has been a discussion about the value of federal law if compared to national to the laws of individual states of the federation. And in particular, they have developed the concept of obstacle preemption, in the sense that state law should not adopt initiatives which would impair the effectiveness of law adopted at the federal level. And so, my final question from a broader EU law perspective is whether an initiative like the UK one would impair the effectiveness of EU action in the area of orphan works and therefore violate the principle of EU preemption. And finally, I would like to explain to you why I chose this quote for my title, taken from the Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. Not just because this year is the 50th anniversary from her death, and because Sylvia Plath, as those of you who are students at Newnham College will know, was a student there on a Fulbright scholarship in the 50s, but because, and this is the main reason I would say, because there were great expectations about the adoption of an orphan work directive. You know, at the beginning, this idea of attractive, interesting content offers like Google Books Library Project to the European Union create a legislative environment which would have been very attractive to corporations which engage in these activities. However, if you look at the final text of the directive, this is a very limited instrument, which basically does not allow the undertaking of initiatives like a Google Books library project. And of course, we will have to wait for the national implementations of the directive to see what the real state of the art in the area of orphan works will be. But I would say that the adoption of national initiatives like the one of the UK are quite telling about what the perception about the value of the directive is. Because basically, what the UK has done has been saying, look, we have the directive to implement, but we don't think that it will be particularly useful. So let's go with our orphan work scheme, which probably will work much better than the directive and its national implementation. So the final question is whether the problem of orphan works following the adoption of this directive and waiting for national implementations has been really solved or is still, you know, up in the air waiting to be solved. So I would like to finish asking whether you have any questions, comments, and opening the floor for discussion. And in any case, I would like to thank you for your attention.